Exodus chapter 13. We are going to work through a portion of scripture tonight that honestly, probably when you read it on your own, is not the most exciting text to read. But tonight, we're going to read it and we're going to study it. And the preacher part of me wanted to skip over this section of passage and go right to Exodus 14. I want to skip right over 13, go right into 14. Because 13 doesn't have a whole lot of glamour to it. 14 does. 14's got all the glamour of crossing the Red Sea and the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day and all those things. That's a lot of glamour, and you can really preach that up pretty good. But Exodus 13 just doesn't really have a whole lot of glamour to it. But as I read this and reread it and went through verse by verse by verse, when I really considered skipping over it and going to 14, I remember what Pastor Sean told me when I first started going to this church before I even came on staff here. He said, "I want you to know if you go back one, yeah, there we go. He said, "Now I want you to know my philosophy on preaching and teaching here at Berean Baptist." He said, "We go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we don't skip over the hard bits." And so tonight, we are going to go to Exodus 13, which is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we're not going to skip over the hard ones, and we're not going to skip over the boring ones, okay? And when you really study God's Word, it's really not boring. You know, I used to think that the reading the begats was boring until I started studying the begats. And they are there for a reason. And we even talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we, I believe it was back in Exodus 8, something like that, Exodus 6. There's a reason why God put those begats there, and that was to prove a point. And so tonight, we're going to look at Exodus 13. So out of reference for God's Word tonight, let's stand. We're going to read just the first two verses of Exodus 13. And then after we read those, we're going to pray together, and then you can be seated. And then we're going to go all the way through verse 16 tonight of Exodus 13. All right? "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify me, or sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast." That is very important that you note that. Both of man and of beast. Note these next three words. Say them with me if you would, please. It is mine. It is mine. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father, I pray now that you would be with us as we tackle these verses. It is not a very glamorous chapter to study. Not a very glamorous chapter to put together. And in all quite honesty, I have doubted of whether I should even bring it. And Father, I pray now that you would help me, use your word. Your word will not return back void. And Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit's power. We pray for your blessing upon the reading and upon the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have one, go ahead and be seated. Talking about first class, let me kind of tell you a little story here. One of our high school seniors, who is a aide for me in the mornings, was asked the other day, was asked by one of the ladies in the office if I don't have anything for my aide. I say, "Well, go up, check with Ms. McCamney and them up there in the office, see if there's anything for you." So she went up there, worked for a little bit. The next day, she came up to me and she said, "Mr. Smith," she said, "I don't think I need to be helping those ladies up there." I said, "Well, why? Something wrong?" She goes, "No," she said, "they had me doing some first class stuff." Okay? She said, "I don't think I need to be looking at that stuff." I said, why? She goes, well, I'm fixing to start first class, and I don't want to be cheating. I said, my aide thought, you know, that it was like tests and questions and that stuff. So don't let think that first class is a class where you'll be given quizzes and tests and that sort of thing, you know. But if you have not gone to first class, let me encourage you to go through it. And you'll get to know Pastor Sean in a whole different manner of just being the pastor, being the preacher from the pulpit. You get to know him he actually is human. He actually is a nice guy. And he does laugh, he does smile, he does enjoy life. And you'll see a whole different side of him that you've not seen before. So let me encourage you to go to first class. All right, let me, introduction tonight. Number one, family situation. Mom, dad, children, one thing is of critical importance, your children. I find that sad that I only got one agreement. You know, one thing in a family situation of critical importance, a matter of spiritual life and death, is your children. God gave you children. Pastor Sean today and Pastor Dave and myself were talking today, and the philosophy of the average parent that places their child in a Christian school is this: it is up to you to raise my child spiritually. It's not my job. My job is to put them in the school. My job is to provide clothing, a roof over their head, and pay the school bill, and to give them food. It is up to you to teach them the things of God. Wrong. It is of critical importance in a family situation of children. God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to know about Him. He wants everyone to know that He is the God of salvation. He wants the entire world to know. He wants everyone to know that He is the God of redemption. Only God can purchase your soul from eternal damnation. Only God can grant you salvation. Only God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can draw all men unto myself. Thirdly, God wants everyone to know that He is the God of deliverance. Now, how is this accomplished? How do we accomplish of teaching our children that God is the God of salvation, that God is the God of redemption, that God is the God of deliverance? He did it by establishing a day of dedication. This day was called the dedication of the firstborn. Now, note the mark of its importance. God tied it with two things, two major events: the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And we're going to talk about that in detail tonight. Now, here we have two pictures. We have picture on your left is a picture of ancient Jews, probably in the day of Moses here, or maybe even a little bit later, maybe even the day of Christ, celebrating what we now know as the Passover feast. But then we have also to the right there a modern Jewish family doing what? What are they also celebrating? The Passover feast. See, to the Jew, both ancient and modern, whether they be Orthodox or not, they may not go to synagogue any of the other days of the year. Kind of sounds like Baptist. I may not go to church any other time of the year, but I'll go at Easter. I'll go at Christmas. Well, here the Jews, they celebrate religiously, they celebrate the Passover. And there are some things that they do at the Passover that we could learn from them that we must do with our families. But not just do them at once a year, though. We need to do it every time that we are together. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I've got it up there on the screen there, but I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go to these verses, and I want you to read them with me, along with me, in your Bibles tonight. Very, very common verses. Christ quoted it in the New Testament, a portion of it. Chapter 6 and verse 1 of Deuteronomy. Now these are the commandments. Notice there is the word commandments. It doesn't say suggestion. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God, let me ask you a question before we go any further. Is he your God tonight? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? The Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son. Here's a question. Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your children's children? I don't have grandkids yet, but I am right now praying for my grandkids. I am praying for my grandkids' salvation. All the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, listen! Here's what God is saying. Listen to me. Listen. Pay attention. Observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Here we have once again. Hear, O Israel, listen. Pay attention here what I'm saying. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love, not like, not make it your cosmic bellhop or your little genie in the sky, but thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Here we have, in that one verse there, the success of Christian living. There are a lot of books out there. Your Best Life Now by my favorite theologian, Joel Osteen. I have glanced through that book. I've not read it. I've glanced through it. I didn't see this verse anywhere in there. But that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it, Pastor Bill? That if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength, you will live a victorious Christian life. But the problem is, we love God with some of our heart, with some of our soul, and some of our strength. That's why we fail. You want to know what your God is in your life? What do you think about the most during the day? That sums it up right there. What you think about most during the day is your God. If you think about sports all day, guess what your God is? It's sports. If you think about politics all day, guess what your God is? It's politics. If you worry all day, guess who your God is? Me. Because you're worrying about things about you that probably are never going to happen. But if you focus your mind on God, focus your heart on God with all of your might. You know, this past Saturday, I got home from the men's retreat, and guess what I did the rest of the day? No, I didn't mow grass, although I need to. There were teams of men in groups of 11 beating the living daylights out of each other all day long, and I watched every game I possibly could. Now, here's the spiritual aspect to this. Yeah. Now, how do you think that those coaches, before the game was to begin, stood up in their locker room and said, okay, guys, it's game time, but you know what? We've practiced real hard all week, and you know what? That's good enough. No? We're playing Florida State tonight. They're the number 3rd-ranked team in the country. We're playing them, but you know what? Just playing them is good enough. No? If you pass the ball and it gets intercepted, who cares? You fumble the ball, who cares? You miss that tackle, so what? We were on the field. We were on ESPN. That's all that matters. Now, how long do you think that coach is going to last? He's probably going to be fired the next day. Yeah. Yeah, before the end of his speech. Yeah. No, he wants them to love for the next 60 minutes on that field, to love football, to love their team, to love their teammates, to fight for their team with all of their mind, their soul, their heart, and their strength. Why should we do less for God? Why cannot we love God with all of our heart, soul, and might? Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. How? Diligently. Constantly. All the time. Teach them diligently unto whom? Thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou, look at these times, there's 4 of them. When you're sitting in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you're laying down, and when you're getting up. That pretty much sums up your whole day. That pretty much sums up all day of your day. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. So here's some facts I want to talk about concerning these 3 days of what we call the Passover and the dedication of the firstborn. First of all, is the Passover. Let's go back to our text of Exodus 13. Some facts concerning these days. Passover. 2 things about the Passover. Number 1, it was a day when God's judgment fell upon Egypt. God delivered the Israelites from the bondage of slavery. Number 2, God had passed over. That is how we get the term, pass over. God passed over all who placed their faith behind the blood of the Passover lamb. Now, look at the dad here. What is the dad doing? He's taking the hyssop, he's dipping it in the blood, and he's putting it on the doorpost. Now, don't get too excited here. But this is quite a number of years before the death of Christ. But he takes that blood, and he puts it at the top of the doorpost, and then he puts it at the sides of the doorpost in the form of a what? A cross. And then later on, when you look at the tabernacle and how they walk into the tabernacle, and to the right is, I think it was the showbread. And then in the front is I think it was the incense, or was the incense to the left? I don't remember. Yep, and then there was the altar of incense, and then the candle. The candle was to, that's right. You walk in, table of showbread. You walk forward, was the candle, and then to the left was the incense. All in the form of a what? Cross. So here God, in His sovereignty, was already putting in the mind of the Israelites the cross. What did God instruct Moses when the serpents, the fiery serpents, were biting the Israelites in the wilderness? Take a brazen serpent and put it on a what? Cross. And when they looked to the cross, they would be healed. What are you looking to for salvation tonight? Are you looking to your own self? Are you looking to your own works? Or are you looking to the cross? Are you looking to the Savior that hung upon that cross and paid for your sin debt, lock, stock, and barrel? So there we have the Passover. Then there was the unleavened bread. God gave very crystal clear instructions at the Passover. Take a lamb, slice the throat of that lamb, pour out the blood of that lamb into a basin, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, skin the lamb, roast it quickly. Don't gut it, roast it, everything. Put it on the fire, roast it, take bread, unleavened, no leaven in it because it's going to take much longer to cook it. Cook it without any leaven in it. Why the unleavened bread? It was a seven-day feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The eating of the Passover lamb was done on day one. The unleavened bread reminded them of the urgency of fleeing the evil of slavery. And here's another thing, the dedication of the firstborn. It reminded them, back in Exodus 4:22, and I believe it was Pastor Bill that taught that lesson on that night. But it reminded them that Israel is adopted by God as their firstborn. But it is also a reminder that they are to teach their children concerning the fact of God's redemption. So all three feasts or dedications were all tied together. The Passover, a reminder of God's redemption. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, a reminder of the necessity of fleeing Egypt. The dedication of the firstborn, a reminder of dedicating the firstborn to God. So let's go through some points real quick tonight. Point number one, let's go back to verses 1 and 2. And here the Israelites were commanded to dedicate the firstborn to God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. So here's some things. First of all, number one, this was a commandment given by God. It was not an option. It was a commandment. It was not a dedication service established by man. And Pastor Sean made that very crystal clear this past Sunday morning when the Odoms came forward to dedicate their most recent addition to their family, that it is not something that is invented by man just to show before everyone that we're putting on a good show here and we have a new baby in our family. No, this was something that was established by God. And this is something that since it was established by God, it was a celebration that must be kept. It was not an option of the Jewish family about dedicating their firstborn. It was something that must be done. The firstborn of both man and animal were to be dedicated to God. God's redemption is so important that God never wanted it to be forgotten. See, we look so often at dedicating our children to God, we don't see here of how the Israelites were commanded to not only dedicate their firstborn to God of their human family, but also they are commanded to give the firstborn of their livestock to God. What is that? What's the importance here? The importance is this. It's because of God. The reason why you have children is because of God. The reason why you have livestock, the reason why you have having livestock, is because of God. It is a reminder that everything had come from God. It just isn't good luck. It all comes from God. So here's some applications. We are to remember the day of God's redemption, our salvation. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Do your children know of your testimony? Those of you that are grandparents here tonight, do your children, do your grandchildren know your testimony? Do you have a testimony? The next thing is this. We are commanded to give the first of everything to God. Now, once again, it's not an option. It's a commandment. Verse 2, sanctify unto me. It doesn't say, think about sanctifying this. Consider this. Like you have parents, you know. Hey, Johnny, will you please think about cleaning your room? Will you please think about doing your chores? Those of us that are coaches, can you imagine yesterday at cross-country meet in Wilmington yesterday? We got there, and I line them up. Time to start the race. Okay, guys, ladies, we just drove 2 hours. Will you think about running? You paid an athletic fee. You know, we've been practicing. How about please just think about running, will you? No. Guys, it's time to get lined up. Time to run. Let's go. Run. That's why I love cross country. It's sure, you know, I've coached basketball and I've coached soccer. Unbelievable heartache. You know? Unbelievable heartache. Cross country, run. You know, that's it. You know? So God doesn't give us a buy here. God just simply says, do it. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Not some of your increase, all thine increase. Why? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, preachers are accused of preaching about tithing too much. Well, you want to know one reason why we do? Is because we want God to bless you. We want God to bless you. It's simple here. You give God the first fruits of your increase, I'll bless you. Look at Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, not your TV evangelist, that there may be meat in your house, and prove me. God says, prove me here. Prove me. I'll show you. Prove me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Christ said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the second point is this, the instructions of the dedication. the instructions. Let's look at verse 3. We're going to go verse by verse. Now, this is the part that may get boring to you, and I'm sorry. In fact, the other day when I was going about halfway through this, I was like, man, ugh. I'm already halfway through. I may as well finish. Verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Underline that in your Bible. Remember this day. So the first thing is this. Remember God's deliverance from Egypt. What is Egypt a type of in the Old Testament? The world. Your past life. Before you became a believer, before you became a follower of Christ, before you became a disciple of Christ, before you became one of God's children, you were not a part of the family of God. The wrath of God abides upon you. But then at that moment of trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ, you then became a part of God's family. You were then redeemed from your past life. Your sin was paid for, lock, stock, and barrel. Every sin, every past sin, present sin, future sin, paid for by the blood of Christ. You were delivered. So remember this day. Number two, let's keep on reading. Says, remember when you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Wow. Before you become a believer, you're just in bondage to your sin. You're in bondage to your pride. You're in bondage to your flesh. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. The next thing is this. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. So, next thing is this. Number one, remember God's deliverance. Number two, don't eat any leavened bread. Now, once again, goes back to the Passover. God says, don't eat any unleavened bread. Now, what does leaven signify in the Old Testament? Paul alluded to it where he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All it takes is a little bit of yeast to make a loaf of bread. What does leaven signify? Leaven signifies sin. Eat no unleavened bread. Now let's go to verse 4. This day came you out in the month Abib, or what is now our April. So remember the very day and month of God's deliverance. It is every year our April is Passover. Guaranteed. I remember, and I'm sure my friend Bill Owen remembers this. There was a chain of men's clothing stores around town called Fleshman's Menswear. I believe they're all closed now. One was downtown. I remember they had one at the mall. Fleshman's Menswear. And I remember as a kid going out to the mall, my parents taking me to the mall to buy our Easter clothes. But there was one store we couldn't go. That was Fleshman's Menswear. You know why? They were closed. For 7 days, they were closed. They had a sign. Closed due to Passover. They remembered it. They remembered this day that the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Now, they may deny the rest of the entire Old Testament, but they're not going to deny that. Next thing is this, verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Man, there's a bunch of ites. Which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. So always, number four, always keep this dedication once per year. Next thing is this, verse 6. 7 days thou shalt not eat, or thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. There's two things here in this verse. First thing, unleavened bread. They can't eat it for 7 days. Verse 6, they're supposed to worship on the seventh day. Number 7. Go to verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters, your house. It would come to a point, and even part of the Passover ceremony today, that they search the house for any leaven. They just don't walk into the house, into the kitchen, and say, okay, any leaven in here? No, okay, we're good. Oh, it goes to even back in this day, a tradition of taking a candle and going through every nook, every corner, every cranny, underneath every chair, moving every chair, every table, going into every cabinet to make sure that there was no leaven in the house. Because they had such fear of God that they did not want God's judgment to be upon their home. Because they saw and heard firsthand what had happened in Egypt to the Egyptians. And they did not want that same kind of judgment upon them. So today, in today's tradition, what they do is they make it a part of their Passover feast, is they take a candle, and as a family, they go through the house looking for any leaven, and when they find it, they throw it out. Parents, do you teach your children what is right and what is wrong? Do you teach your children what it means to obey God and what it means to disobey God? So that when they do leave home, they still know what is right and what is wrong. Next thing. Paul even talked about leaven. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Christ even approached the subject of leaven when he talked about the sin of the Pharisees, when he said, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Next thing is this, let's go to verse 8. And thou shalt sow thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Here you tell your children what great things God has done for you. You share with your son what God has done for you. You share with your daughter what God has done for you. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at a very, very convicting verse. It's a very, very convicting verse to me when I first read it. And every time I read it, it's a convicting verse. Here we have what is traditionally known as the Hall of Faith. Lester Roloff called it the Westminster Abbey of the Heroes of the Old Testament, is what he called it, I believe. But look at verse 5. Talking about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. That means God took Enoch to heaven. He did not die. He took him straight up to heaven. For before his translation, underline these next four words, he had this what? Testimony. Oh, isn't it? He had this testimony And what was his testimony? That he pleased God. You know, I may be wrong here, but I don't see any evidence of, in the book of Genesis there, and the account of him being translated, that they started looking for him. They put out an Amber Alert. They didn't worry about him. They knew. Why? Because he had a testimony. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think long and hard about this. You got a testimony? You have a testimony of salvation? You have a testimony that you can share with children? That when your children do get old enough to ask you about your salvation, you can say, oh yeah, I remember the day. Do they see your testimony in your life? Do they see that you are a godly mother and godly father? Do they see that in your life? Do they see that you not only live Christianity when you walk onto this property on Sunday morning at Sunday school and then you leave it at 12:30? And then when you get in the car, you're flipping everybody off as you go down the All-American? You're cutting everybody off? Or do you have a testimony that says, not only do my parents tell me they're a Christian, but I see that they are Christians. Then the last thing, you have a visible and strong testimony of what God has done for you. Verse 9, it shall be for a sign unto thee upon your hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law might be in your mouth. With a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Now, this is what they do traditionally today. Here you have in the background, you've got what is known as the Wailing Wall. And here's the young boy to the left who is carrying the scroll there. It is more than likely, this is probably his day of the bar mitzvah, where he is coming there to be declared that he is going from childhood to manhood. And there probably is his dad. But note what they have tied around their arms and also up on their foreheads. They're known as phylacteries. Remember, Christ talked about the phylacteries of the Pharisees. That they tied these wraps around the arms, and then they had little bitty scrolls on their, and those boxes on their foreheads. See, they were outwardly showing that they are Jews, but inwardly they were not very Jewish. Outward they were Jews, but inward they were wolves in sheep's clothing. Outwardly they looked like a beautiful sepulcher, where inside they were as dead men's bones. You see, our Christianity is not just be displayed outward. This be displayed inward. You see, what is inward will eventually come outward. So what you are feeding inward is going to come outward. If you are feeding fleshly appetites, fleshly desires, what is going to come out is fleshly things. But if you are feeding spiritual appetites, spiritual things, what is going to come out are spiritual things. And then lastly, keep the dedication at the appointed time each year. Here are some applications. Parents are to share the great dedication with their children. Verse 14 of Exodus 13, and it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? You're celebrating the Passover. What is this? You're going to church. What is this? You're getting your Bible out. What is this? What is this, Dad? Why do we go to church, Dad? Why do you talk about God, Dad? Mom? What is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand the Lord brought us from Egypt and from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord. So who is getting all of the credit here? The Lord. You want to know why you breathed air today? It's because of the Lord. You want to know why you have a job today? It's because of the Lord. You want to know why you have a wife today who loves you? It's because of the Lord. Why you have a husband today who loves you? It's because of the Lord. Why you live in America and not Afghanistan? It's because of the Lord. Why you live in a free country? It's because of the Lord. So who should get all the credit for everything? It's the Lord. The Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. What are we to teach? God alone is the great deliverer. God's judgment fell upon Egypt, and our children belong to the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, everything we have, everything that we own, the reason why we are able to walk, talk, have shelter, have a church, have a car to drive, be able to walk, be able to breathe, be able to look, be able to hear, it is because of the Lord. It is because of you. The reason why we are able to escape eternal damnation and have eternal salvation is because of the Lord. And you, in your great mercy and your love and your grace that is unmerited favor upon sinful people such as myself, is because of you. And we right now at our seats, hopefully everyone at our seats right now, We are giving thanksgiving to you, and we are praising you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.